This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins.
Let's hear the other side and hear the case for everything Eagles as we bring on Joe Giglio, co-host of BetQL Daily, and on evenings, WIP in Philadelphia each and every weekday.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out! The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball!
You want Philly, Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. Good.
Philly special, ready?
And the game is over! The game is over! The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions! Eagles fans everywhere! This is for you!
One provolone without?
Yeah, probably without.
Yep.
And one with whip.
And then a cheese whip.
Getting Philly with Joe Giglio.
Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
Oh, man. All right. Hello, Joe. Good morning. Let's start off with a little bit of negativity because we were just talking about how amazing the Eagles are looking. But you, as somebody who follows this team very closely, what do you think the sabotage factor is for the Philadelphia Eagles?
So I'll give you a couple possibilities. The first would be that their inability so far to play four quarters will catch up to them soon. I mean, it's just the NFL. I mean, look at the Eagles. They haven't scored in the second half in each of the last two games. They've just dominated the first half so much that it hasn't mattered. The game never felt close. You know, them not scoring or really doing anything in the second half offensively hasn't mattered. I don't think that could continue. It's the NFL. I mean, they're not going to build 27-point leads every first half where they could cruise. It almost feels like college football, where, you know, and then the second half, you know, they're bringing the underclassmen in to finish the game with these big powerhouses. That's going to stop at some point. So that's one. And the other one, and you guys mentioned injuries, is kind of across the league. But I'll give you a specific injury that could hurt them. And I don't even mean a catastrophic one. Is if Jalen Hurts gets banged up. We know how much he runs. We know how physical he plays as a running quarterback. And I think back to the past, guys like Cam Newton. You know, he ran a lot, and then he would have these weeks where his shoulder was bothering him. He played, but he didn't throw the ball as well because he was banged up. So I worry about that with Jalen. Can he stay as completely healthy as he is now to be as effective as he's been the first 3 weeks?
Joe, I'm curious, when you talk about a guy like Jalen Hurts, who uses his legs quite a bit, and his effort level is so fantastic, which is, of course, if you're an Eagles back or a Philly fan, you love to see that, and you get behind your quarterback. But as you know, being a quarterback in the NFL, you take too many hits, and it can slow you down. So if you're the Eagles, how do you take advantage of Jalen Hurts' legs and his effort level while also not wearing him out throughout the season and risk that injury?
It's such a delicate balance, and I, you know, here after week one, I was kind of sounding the alarms. I was like, he ran 17 times. That's too many, and there were some late hits in there, and it worried me. I just thought that's unsustainable for a quarterback. I mean, let's be real. Most running backs don't get 17 carries at a game in the NFL these days. But the last 2 weeks, as it seems like teams are saying, all right, we're not going to let you just run around and beat us with your legs, especially I thought Washington on Sunday took the Eagles' run game away. I mean, most teams haven't done that to them in the last 2 years. And Hurts back there just torched them. I mean, pass after pass down the field. So I think the answer, Jenks, is his arm. If he could continue to beat teams with his arm, he's not going to need his legs as much. They're not going to rely on it. He's not going to feel like he needs it as much. If he passes this well, I think it'll naturally just keep his carries down.
We're talking with Joe Giglio, radio host on 94.1 WIP in Philadelphia, and also co-host of BetQL Daily immediately after our program. So, Joe, let's look at the Eagles game this week against the Jags. Eagles laying 6.5 at home. You were just talking about the Eagles kind of taking their foot off the gas pedal sometimes in the second half. Do you think this is a coverable number?
I do. Yeah, I think Jacksonville's quite good. I mean, you look at them. I mean, they obviously have impressed us the last 2 weeks with what they've done. And really, you go back to that week one game when they lost in Washington. I thought they could win that game and thought they had the better roster. But then you watch the game and they had a couple dropped passes. They had some mistakes there and they weren't able to capitalize, gave a couple big plays. But the last 2 weeks, they've been dominant. And you look at some of the underlying numbers, DVOA, I mean, a lot of metrics have them as a top 10 or top 5 team in all of football. So Jacksonville is really good. Yeah, this feels like a coverable number for Jacksonville. It feels like a closer game. The only thing I would think about on the Jacksonville side that would worry me is all the travel in a short period. I mean, they traveled all the way to Los Angeles last week, back to Jacksonville, now up to Philadelphia. It's a lot for a young team, but just in terms of player for player and the way they've played, yeah, this feels like a game that should be pretty close.
We're talking with Joe Giglio, host of BetQL Daily. You can hear him evenings on WIP in Philadelphia, and he is on the BetQL guest line. Joe G., this time of year is a lot of fun because we have storylines developed that we didn't anticipate, but also there's a lot of overreaction involved, as you know. What team or teams do you think is maybe a little overrated at this point in the season?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I do think there's one tonight that we're going to see that in effect is a little bit overrated. That's the Miami Dolphins. Not that they're not good. I mean, I think Miami's showing to be a good team, very well coached, with Mike McDaniel as their head coach now, and he's gotten the most out of Tua. But I just look at them, you know, 3-0. They are, you know, looked at it to some people as now maybe the class of the AFC East or top of the power rankings, however you want to look at it. I'm not quite ready to go there yet with them. As impressive as the wins have been, there's also been some craziness, they almost flukiness to it with them at 3-0. I mean, the Baltimore game, that fourth quarter, Baltimore, all those injuries and those big plays they made. And then last week, you dive into the box score of that game against Buffalo, and it's one of the most historic losses we've seen in 20 years. I mean, it's almost impossible to have that many more plays than an opponent, hold the ball that much more than an opponent, and lose the game. Buffalo pulled it off last week. So I look at Miami, and I say they're good, but 3-0 good. It's almost – they kind of remind me of last year's Cardinals in that their start probably means they're going to the postseason, but I'm not ready to say they're a Super Bowl kind of contender yet.
I'm kind of on that train as well, but looking at tonight's game, it's the Dolphins getting 3.5 points, and that kind of scares me because I kind of lean towards the Bengals here just because the Dolphins have given up so many yards through the air, given up the second most yards per game when it comes to the pass, and they're going against Joe Burrow tonight. So what's your read on tonight's Thursday night football game, whether it's a spread, a total, or any props you like?
Yeah, I'm with you, Chelsea. I like the Bengals. It just feels like everything points to the Bengals tonight. It's a spot for them. You know, back-to-back emotional games we just discussed for Miami with those wins. A short week for a rookie coach. I always think a Thursday night game for a rookie head coach, as impressive as McDaniel is, that's a lot to ask. A lot of preparation has to be put into a very short period of time. And then the other thing, you know, unfortunate for everyone involved this week, they lost a day of practice time. They left yesterday. They got out of Florida before the hurricane came through, and it would impact travel where they probably wouldn't have been able to leave. So they lost a day of practice for this game. It's a short week anyway. So you throw all those things in, and Tua is banged up with whatever's going on with the ankle and what they're calling the back with that play on Sunday. It really feels like a difficult spot for Miami. Now, the number keeps creeping up. You know, we're starting at 3, now 3.5. I would play, you know, Cincinnati at either of those. But it is it's a Cincinnati spot, and I do like Ja'Marr Chase to score a touchdown tonight.
I was just going to ask you, Joe, besides Ja'Marr Chase, are there any props that you like in this game where you can sort of expound on Ja'Marr Chase and why he's going to get one?
Yeah, well, I just think the Miami pass defense, Chelsea brought it up, it's they're giving up a lot of yards. And I look at Ja'Marr Chase, and he's the kind of player to me, and there's maybe a handful of these guys in the NFL where it just feels like any play, the ball's in their hands, they could go all the way. I mean, they could go for a touchdown. And I think get to Miami secondary that was on the field and the whole defense on the field for 90 plays on Sunday. I mean, that is a brutal turnaround. It reminds me a little bit of last year. I feel like I remember talking to you guys about the game. Thursday night last year around November, the Ravens were favorites on the road in Miami, ironically. And Baltimore had just come off a game where they were on the field for 90 snaps. And Baltimore in this game was actually the favorite and all that, and they just look gassed. I mean, Lamar looked gassed, they all did. It feels like we could get that with Miami now on the other side tonight. So I think Chase breaks one.
All right, Joe, so what is your favorite game so far on the slate in the NFL this weekend? Because we have some short spreads, but we also have some good games on tap. We've got Bills-Ravens. Jenks and I are on opposing sides when it comes to Cowboys-Commanders. Is there a game that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Bills Ravens is the game I can't wait to watch the most. I'll give you two games that I'm intrigued with the play. And the first one is the Browns and the Falcons. Maybe not the one you thought I would say, but I think both those offenses, both those offenses have been sneaky good. The Browns without Deshaun Watson, and I think the Falcons have played like a top 10 offense so far. That feels like an over game to me. I think the number's still in the upper 40s, maybe 47, 48, 49, somewhere there, as the week has moved on. But I think that's a very high-scoring game. between the Falcons and the Browns. And the game I like the most in terms of a play this weekend, I'm crossing my fingers for positive injury news on Amon-Ra St. Brown. But I love the Lions this week. I absolutely love the Lions at home against the Seahawks. I think this Lions team is pretty good. You know, their two losses are against maybe playoff teams, certainly with the Eagles and the Vikings. They should have won that game in Minnesota last week, and they took care of a bad Washington team at home. I think they take care of a bad Seattle team with a bad defense at home again. I like the Lions minus the 4.5.
All right, James,
I got a couple. We got a couple minutes left. But Joe, quick question, and we were discussing this yesterday. Why are we talking more about the Rams? They are the defending world champions. They're still a very good team despite some losses in the offseason, and yet we act like they're just some has-been out west.
It's a great question. I feel like style makes conversation. And look, first week everyone watched them, and they got blown out at home. And then the last 2 weeks, they lost a big lead to the Falcons, almost blew that game. They held on. And then last week it was kind of a low-scoring, sloppy kind of game where their defense held the day. Stafford didn't throw a touchdown. So unless you were locked in on that game, you probably didn't see a highlight from it because every other highlight show is showing you the Dolphins or showing you the Eagles or showing you whatever. So I think it's kind of easy right now for them to get lost in the shuffle, but it's a big game Monday. I mean, they're in San Francisco, no Trent Williams in that game. If the Rams could steal this one on the road, obviously they take command back of their division again.
Yeah, I really want to put that game in a teaser, but I have not pulled the trigger just yet. At 1.5, you can tease it to 7.5. Let's go. All right, he's Joe Giglio. He is the co-host of BetQL Daily right after our program, also on WIP in Philadelphia each and every weeknight. Joe G, great insight as always. Go Birds.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.